This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Happy Palm Sunday. The Bible says and declared this event, Palm Sunday, hundreds of years before it came. It prophesied and they said, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, on a foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them, namely getting that donkey. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on him, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their coats on the road, while others cut branches from the trees, and they spread them out on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. And this is the word of the Lord. Jesus is King of all. And we can be so mild-mannered and just say, oh, it's just Palm Sunday, we have a little palm. This is a big event because the King is coming to town. And when God comes to a city, He is the God of the city, everything changes. At least it should. When God is on the move, when the Lord, the Savior, is on the move, things happen, right? And we've had some interesting things happen this past week. We'll get into that, where God is definitely on the move. And what is exciting is like last Sunday morning Bible class, last Wednesday night, we come together as God's people and we share all the things that God's doing. And it's just, it helps our faith. It's just getting to a higher intensity and warmer fire. And if your fire is going out, you're in the right place. Because this is Holy Week. This is the week, the greatest week in history. And the problem is when the church and the world is unaffected. But when Jesus rode into town, there was a stir. People weren't always for him. Some would yell, crucify him. Some would say, Hosanna, praise him. But on this day, on the Palm Sunday, the crowds were praising the Lord and even children were crying out. And what a great day Palm Sunday is, right? It is a great week. It is a great day. And we should say, this is the week the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Because Jesus came and He is our Savior. He is our Lord and He is the Lamb. He's also the Lion. But He would come into that week and everything would change. We pray your life has been changed by the King coming into your heart, into your city, into your home, into your family, into your job. But today, we're not talking about this part of Matthew, although it is Palm Sunday, but as we go through Matthew 6, we continue looking at this great text and the Sermon on the Mount, Pastor. I tell you, you talk about getting challenged. Oh, man, here you preach. as we look at it, we think, boy, Lord, help me out here. But one thing I noticed in this is that as we use the theme, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, is that we need more than just physical glasses, although I need them. And the small print gets smaller and smaller every week, I think. I tell you. But a lot of this text today talks about eyes and hearts. So we do pray from that song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Because we'll talk about that a little bit later. But Jesus was concerned not just that we do the right thing, but our motives are right in doing the right thing. Because last week and today, He talks about three religious activities that just about all church people do, Christians do, praying, giving offerings, and maybe not so much nowadays, but in the past it was more so a tradition of fasting, although some Christians do that, and it's very, very powerful when we do it. But so Jesus is attacking the motive of these religious activities, not the activity itself. And we'll get into that. He says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, but they disfigure their faces to show them that they're fasting and how miserable they are, and how hard they have as a Christian. Oh, woe is me. Look what I'm doing. And maybe we don't do that with fasting because a lot of people don't fast, but maybe we do it with other things. Oh, do you know what time I had to get up in the morning? Do you know what I had to do? Oh, I had to do this to get here to church. I had to take this bus, and my car broke down, but I'm still here. And I can complain like the best of them, but we can talk about it. It's all about me, me, me. And have you been to some churches where the prayers, those who gave the prayers, went on and on and on? And yes, it was beautiful, but it almost got to the point where, who are you trying to impress here, you know? And some of the more powerful prayers are the shortest ones that have that punch and that power of the Holy Spirit and not man-made words going on and on. We were taught how to construct a prayer in seminary. Well, I can ask a four-year-old. I can ask my three-year-old grandson how to pray. He knows, I love you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus, right? That's the basis of prayer. It's a heart-to-heart conversation with God. So Jesus is attacking all the ritual and all the outward stuff and the attention-getting that many of some church members would have. So he talks about moving fast. So it looks somber as though, oh, woe is me. But I tell you the truth, they have received the reward already. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So he talks about the fact of doing things for the right reason. Well, I'm not going to talk a lot about fasting here today, because he's talking more about the motive. But then Jesus talks about one of those dirty topics, those dirty subjects. Oh, you don't talk about in church. Money. Uh-oh, we're going to talk about money in church. Oh, the week before Easter? Oh, boy. Now we're treading on thin ice here, right? Oh, if you talk about my paycheck, don't you talk about my wallet, Pastor. Then now you're meddling. You're not preaching anymore. You're meddling. Rob, don't worry. It's not going to be that bad. Do not. Well, maybe it will. Yeah, right. Maybe I shouldn't say what God's going to do. He may convince. But he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is not saying don't save up money. Years and years and years ago, there were some Lutheran theologians that thought it was a sin to have insurance. Because they said, oh, you do that, right, Frank? You're going to go to hell because you're not trusting God. Well, it's being part of planning. It's looking out. And Proverbs talks about the importance and the advantages of planning ahead and saving. Obviously, that's being a good steward. But there's a difference from saving and hoarding and storing up for myself and just accumulating wealth for myself, right? That's a totally different picture because Abraham was very wealthy. But it's the attitude of the heart, holding on to it so closely that this is my life. So he says, don't store it up all your treasures here on earth where moth and rust destroy. You think, well, what's the moth have to do with it? Well, in those days, many left, sometimes today too, a person was measured by what they wore, their clothes. Oh, wow, it was like a fashion show, kind of parade around. And if you had fancy clothes, especially purple or some colors like that, it took a lot to get those colors. And anyway, it was a big deal. So you could show your wealth by your clothes. But what happens sometimes, the moths go in there and destroy the clothes. Oh, there goes that savings account. Or robbers come in and steal. Or rust would rust out stuff, whatever. So whatever we have here on earth doesn't last forever, does it? You can't take it with you, no. And I remember watching a lot of cowboy movies when I was a kid, a whole bunch of them that are back on TV now, you know, all the old westerns. But yeah, that's right. And a lot of it, if you remember, was about bank robbers. Get those bank robbers. And I thought, boy, living in those days, it must have been kind of scary. Was your money going to be in there? And then for years and years, we had the FDIC and had no worries about our bank. They were guaranteed. And then came online banking and credit card fraud. And is there anything worse than getting a phone call from the credit card company or opening up a bill and finding out that, uh-oh, somebody's been using my card? I'll never forget about a year ago, I got a call saying, I just want to confirm that you took a flight to Paris. Oh, Paris, California, or Illinois, or Texas? No. Oh, well, we have down here that you went to had a round trip to Paris. Not me. and it's scary, isn't it? And it takes a lot of hassle to get that corrected. And credit card fraud or online banking fraud is a scary thing if you're a victim to that. But we have no guarantees here on earth, do we? So Jesus, I want you to store up treasures up here in heaven. And my heavenly bank account, we have some pretty good guards, these angels. No one's going to mess with those treasures in heaven. No one can take away your treasures there. We have the best security guards in the world. And it's safe in God's hands, right? Now, what are treasures in heaven? What do you think that is? Love, Loved one. Loved one. Okay, first of all, love, and loved ones as well. Absolutely. If you think about our loved ones who are in heaven now, those are treasures in heaven. Thank you. That's a great point. A very good point. As we think about all the people we've lost, right, in the past few years, those treasures are in heaven. And they still live there, and they're for eternity. Thanks be to God. Good point. Very good. Anybody else? What are Jesus, the greatest, priceless treasure, Jesus Christ, who gives up his very life in this week, we think about it, on a Good Friday, shed his very blood, the holy, innocent Lamb of God, just for you and just for me. That is love. That is great love, right? Tremendous love. And that's what it's all about. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Anybody else? What are the treasures? His Word. The Word of God. What a priceless treasure this is. And we just love devouring God's Word and meditating on it. And we'll be doing that here this morning in Bible class, and I can't wait for that. Robert, you mentioned peace. Excuse me. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, right? How about another one? What other book? Eternal life, right? Being in heaven, eternal life forever and ever and ever. That's a gift. We don't earn it. What a treasure. Well, we're going to get into that. Oh, yes. What greater joy. Thank you, Pastor. Hold that thought, okay? I'm going to come back to that. All right. I got a lot to cover here. Yes. I'll forget. I'll be in Bible class. Oh. Well, you keep thinking about all the treasures. We can spend the rest of the morning talking about all the treasures of knowing Jesus. On and on and on it goes. So the idea is store those up. Store up your time in God's Word and in other people loving them and in helping people and reaching out in sober recovery. It's worth it, right? That's a good investment. Whatever time we spend bringing people to Christ, we'll get to that. And all these things, when you can't be here at church and you're gone, like I was in Illinois and I couldn't be here, you really appreciate what you have here. The fellowship we have, the sharing of God's Word, and then when you can't go to Bible class, you can't have a worship experience like we have here, can't hear the Word of God like we do here, you miss it. And it's a great treasure from God. Amen. So Jesus says, store up those kinds of treasures. Store them up. And they don't wither, they don't rust, they don't fall apart, and they get better and better. The other day, we had a little cookout in our neighborhood, and we had these huge steaks. And I was so hungry for it at first. But at the end, I go, oh, I don't want any more. That steak that I couldn't wait to have, like, okay, I'm full. And no mas. It was that thick, and it was just huge, filled my platter. I didn't want any more. But the joys of heaven, they get better and better and better. The more we're in God's Word, the more we share with others, the more we want it, the more blessed we get, and then we pass it on, and it just gets better and better. It doesn't have diminishing returns. So store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, right? All right, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the song, Open the Eyes of My Heart, we pray that God would open our eyes to see things that our physical eyes can't see. That is the treasures of heaven, that is about Jesus Christ, that is about heaven itself. All these things we can't see with our physical eyes, because faith says, the Bible says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Abraham looked to the city in heaven, and he looked ahead. He had such supernatural vision to look beyond to the city he'd have in heaven. Jesus looked beyond the shame of the cross, and he looked beyond that to pleasing his Father and bringing us into heaven. And he said it'll be all worth it while he suffered for us. So we have this supernatural vision. We pray, God, open the eyes of my heart to see you. I want to see you high and lifted up. We're going to sing with it. I want to see you, Lord. Well, we can't see with our physical eyes, but they open the eyes of my heart. Our heart can see things our physical eyes just can't, right? And how sad it is if we just rely on these and we just live with a vision of this. We have to have open hearts, open minds, and we say, God, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. I want to see you high and lifted up. Do you see him? You see Jesus? Sure we do, right? With faith, we see him right now. So you are here, Lord. We see you with the eyes of faith. And we are so appreciative of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is the one who opens our eyes, right? And go, oh, I never noticed that before. I can be so oblivious. Something can be right in front of me and I don't see it. Anybody else like that? Like, oh, yeah, where are my keys? Oh, they're right there. Where are your glasses? They're on your head. Oops. Oh, boy. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. He says, oh, I'm right here. God, where are you? I'm right here. I'm right here. What's going to happen to me? I'll take care of you. So we want to hear and we want to see Jesus. And so we need the eyes of our heart opened up. And he talks about that and he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You know, it's said that the eyes are the windows of the soul. Have you looked into someone sometimes where you saw a lot of darkness, right? That's scary, isn't it? When you look into someone, there's a lot of evil, a lot of brokenness, and they're lost. They're lost people like zombies. They're physically alive, but spiritually dead. And it's so sad. And I had a really rough weekend as far as at work. We were all excited, and I think I've shared this, that we had one of my teenage clients that was all excited. He's going to get baptized. He's been reading the Bible, and he was all excited about Jesus, and he was doing well. He's going to get baptized. He had all these plans. He was doing much better. He'd been in the hospital a couple times, a quail run, and doing much better. And then the time came for baptism, and everything fell apart. There was a spiritual attack on his life. He went to the church, and he has some major issues, and for some reason, he decided to steal from the offering plate. Yeah, I know. That happens. That's happened here. We won't get into that. But there are people who get so caught in what they want, what they need. Even in their church, they'll steal money. But anyway, that's what he did. And then he stole a utility knife at the church. And he has a fascination with fire and knives. So then he felt guilty, and then they had to talk to the church and all this. And then he didn't want to be baptized anymore. And so then they got in an argument, and I was in East Valley. And I'd heard all these things, and things weren't going well, and... the mom says, you know, I'm not going to say his name, but he's just not the same. He's doing fine, and there's a darkness in him. And then I get a call saying, and it's hard to say, and it's been rough to deal with for all of us. He said, well, so-and-so's out in the front yard. He tried to hang himself from the tree in the front yard. And it's like, okay, I'll be right there. I was in East Valley driving over there. But fortunately, thank God, there was a police officer on patrol going down the street just when that happened. Thank God that police officer was there. Got into Honor Health at Deer Valley Hospital, and now he's at Quail Run, and he's starting to talk to his mom, and he just had a moment, actually a week, of going back into the darkness, and he felt like, well, if I do this, I can't go back. We can always go back, right? No matter how far we stray, Jesus brings us back. He's loving, he's forgiving, he's merciful, he's kind. And so now we pray. I told him we would pray for him, that God brings him back, because he was doing fantastic. And that Satan doesn't get the victory in this. So though it was a dark time, had a dark week, and he'll come back to the light. But the point is, when I see some of my clients that get so caught in this, you can see it in their eyes. You can tell right away, you know, where they're at. And it's a sad when it's the darkness. And so there's a lot of darkness. So now what you said, Pastor, one of the treasures is that we can witness to people, and we know they're going to be in heaven. And there's a book that we've been talking about, we've been sharing. It's the one thing... that you cannot, where is it? The one thing you can't do in heaven, we talked about that. And that one thing is witnessing to others. We can't do that in heaven, right? Because there'll be no lost people in heaven. So now's our chance to share with people who don't know Jesus so they can be there too and enjoy heaven with us. And it's a free gift. It's just as free, it's just as available to them as it is to us. And you never know how long it'll take, like with Stocky, but don't give up. So on the other side of this is that the darkness is there when people don't know Jesus, but when they do know him, you can see the light. And we had an amazing week this week, Pastor and I. And Pastor, can you share with, if you don't mind sharing with the guy you met, and then I'll do the piggyback onto that, or tell the rest of the story on that.
Okay. Ricky was, he works at Quicken Loans, and by the way, if any of you need to refinance your house, talk to Ricky, but Ricky was talking to this guy, Roger Munchian, and they found out they're Christians, so the conversation changes, because they're brothers in Christ. Well, finds out that Roger's involved in prison and jail ministry, so Ricky said that his parents are involved in the jail ministry, and he said, well, I need to talk to him. He said, "Have him, give him my number and have him come talk to me." So I think we waited a week or so, and then we went and saw Roger this Tuesday, and he's one of the most amazing men I have ever met in my life. He's just amazing. And he spent 2 years in prison, but Robert, he makes us look like choir boys with where we were before, okay? But amazing guy. They give out 100,000 Bibles a year to jails and prisons, okay? So for us, a couple things. Number one, I turned him on to the Mosaic program. He's going to do a presentation there. He's been in touch with Lil over there. But then he told us that he can help with housing for inmates when they get out, and that's what we've been pulling our hair out, okay? So anyway, we spent 2 hours with him. We were supposed to go to lunch, but we never made it because we spent 2 hours just talking. And the one thing I appreciated about him, the first thing he said is, "We got to stop the competition between churches, and we need to just focus on the kingdom of God." And that's exactly where we're at, okay? So anyway, I was so excited when we left, and Pastor Robin was, because she's working with the girls, as you know. But I called Pastor Perry. And you want to take it from there? Okay.
To a man who'd been in prison for a long time and needed housing. I just got that the day before Pastor Rick called, and I was just thinking that I've got to call this man, and he's asking me, and I talked to the man, and he says, "What can you do for housing?" That was before I talked to Pastor Rick, maybe 2 hours before I talked to Pastor Rick. So I called Roger back, and I talked to him, and he said, "Oh yeah, I'll have a questionnaire, and this guy can fill out this questionnaire, I can help him with housing." So I met with my client the next day. He's at church on the street. He's been in a discipleship program there like 6 hours a day. He says, "Pastor, Perry, I can't talk right now. I have to go to worship." I say, "Yeah, that's fine." And amazing, changing his life. This guy's about 5'10" and a bodybuilder. And he's got tattoos everywhere. He was not just in gangs, but in prison gangs, leader of prison gangs, one of the toughest men you could ever imagine. And Jesus Christ gave him a vision. He turned his life completely. Now he's a little puppy dog. He's crying and bawling, and he when I met him in the room, a room that was locked up, I go, "Oh boy, hope this guy's good." He started bawling like a baby. He says, "Well, what can I do to serve you? How can I pray for you?" And he talked about his life being totally changed, but he just needed housing. I said, "Well, guess what? I just heard about this guy named Roger in Munson." He says, "Oh, I've read his books." "Well, come on." He says, "Yeah, I've read his books, and some of his men have come and mentored me here in this when I was in jail. And I've always wanted to talk to him." I said, "Well, here's his number. He wants to talk to you. Just got up from Pastor Rick yesterday." Unbelievable. I love how God works, man. And you have no idea, right? It's just, oh my goodness. And so the opportunities are all over there. And as long as we walk in the Lord's will and in His Spirit, He's going to lead us to the right places. And it's just amazing. Now, this book that we've been talking about for the last month or so, there's a story behind this. Because, as you know, my father passed away, and my mother passed away, and before that they were both ill, and here I am in Arizona, they're in Illinois, only child, have nobody there to take care of them, I didn't think, until I met Betty Ann Horn, who is a member of my folks' church, who was a mail carrier that worked at the post office when my dad did 40 years ago. And so I was at a nursing home when my dad was in the nursing home going through rehab a couple years ago. And I go, "What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Who's going to take care of my parents? My mom can't take care of my dad. My dad can't take care of her. What am I going to do?" And she happened to be at the nursing home leading a nursing home worship service that Ann did. Because I'll take care of them. Because that's my calling. I like to take care of the elderly. I want to help them. I can help with everything. And she said, "I'm a bookkeeper. And I'm very trustworthy. I'll even take care of that. The paperwork and everything. That's my ministry." And at first we were talking about that. "I don't know about this, you know, almost too good to be true." Well, she's very faithful. She's very honest to the penny. For instance, the car my dad used to have, there was a crack in the front of it, and a kind of a piece of the metal was broken off. And I assumed my dad did it because he didn't have great eyesight and was driving when he shouldn't. He was a terror. They go, "Oh no, there comes Carl driving. No, look out." But anyway, she came up to me. She said, "I want to be honest, Perry. I broke a piece of the car, but I'll take care of it. I did it. So she's very honest. Well, anyway, she took care of all their needs, the caring and the finances, and even now the estate, selling the house, everything. And I trust her with everything. And she's got a power of attorney, and she loves, she's like a Mother Teresa in Mount Pulaski, Illinois. Well, she would always was talking to Jeremy and me when we were out there about, how can I do more for God? And she does a lot, and she teaches courses, but she says, I want to do more. She read this book, The One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. She says, I never was taught my whole life how to witness. And so now she's witnessing everybody. All the cowboys, she goes to rodeos, she witnesses all the cowboys. She witnesses to everybody in the community, my lawyer, her banker, any business person, whatever. And she's been passing out these books. She ordered about 300 copies of this book to give out. She has got some. She bought 15 for Spanish. She bought about 20 for English. I've already given out the English ones. But she just wants everybody to know that this is the most important thing you do, is tell people about Jesus, because they'll go to heaven, and we don't want anybody to go to hell. So she's so full of the light of the Lord. She's had a heart attack. She's like 72, 73 years old. She gets up 3 in the morning, takes care of horses, and then she does her work with the hospitals or whatever. She's an amazing woman, just amazing. And you can see the light of Jesus in her. And she's going to drive out here because she says, Perry, you left some really nice china. Like, I don't know anything about china. She says, you didn't take the china back with you in your car. So she's going to drive all the way out here and give us her china. That she says, you got to give us your kids. It's the best kind, whatever. But anyway, she wants to serve. That's all she wants to do, is serve her Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where the light comes in. She's so full of the light of the Lord. And the Lord has opened the eyes of her heart to see lost souls, and she wants to witness to them. And she's not afraid. In a little town, that's not cool. It's not cool to witness about Jesus. You don't talk about religion, you know. That's a private thing. You don't raise your hands in worship. You don't tell other people you love Jesus. You don't ask them about their faith. And so she's breaking all the rules, but she's opening up people's eyes to the kingdom, which is just amazing. And hopefully she'll be here someday. She would get so mad if she knew I was talking about her. She's very humble. She would not like that. But all the glory is to God. So you see how all these things this past week, and I'm not giving up on that kid who tried to hang himself. God will get the glory, and God will get the victory, and he will come back. He will come back, because we all can come back to him. That's what this week's all about. There is hope for all, and we can all return to the Lord. And we are called to lovingly share and love all people to Christ, because he is the one and only. There's no other hope except Jesus. But what a hope he is, right? So in closing, Jesus in these words talks about this. He says, you cannot serve two masters. Have you ever tried to have two bosses or more than one boss? Well, this boss is this. Well, you said that. It's horrible, right? Well, so can somebody please decide what I'm supposed to do? It's horrible. And the Bible says that you can't serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. We can't have a divided heart. My friend Betty Ann does not have a divided heart. She's all in for Jesus. Lalo is the man, my new client, who is a former prison gang member. He's all in for Jesus. And he doesn't care what people say. He does a bodybuilding ministry now. And people look at him and go, wow, you're cool. He says, no, I'll tell you who's cool. It's Jesus. And he's lifting these weights, and he's a really neat guy. But it's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. And they're all sold out to Jesus. That's Roger. He's not sold out to drugs anymore, is he? It's all about him. He's not in it for himself. And it is very refreshing to see people like that. And so as we are in this Holy Week, may we have that singular focus to ask the Lord to open the eyes of our heart and to keep our eyes on Jesus. And focusing up, looking up to him, so that our eyes are always looking up, high and lifted up. We're looking at him, not at our problems, not at the people around us, not the problems, not the situations, but always looking up. And what better week to look up than this week, when we look up to see where Jesus is, ascended in heaven, and he's coming back for us someday, right? And we want more and more and more and more people to go with us to heaven. We want to have a whole bunch of people in there for that party that goes on forever in heaven. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.